This week's episode is brought to you by our new sponsor, Lola. Lola provides a modern approach to feminine care. Lola gives women peace of mind about what they're putting into their bodies. Lola's products are 100% hypoallergenic cotton tampons with no additives, synthetics, chemicals, or dyes. Lola is offering a 50% savings on your first order. Get your first two boxes for $9 at a price where it's usually $18 with our custom URL, trymylola.com/PokemonGoFM.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate that delivers the best in geek plus gaming gear. From collectibles, apparel, tech gadgets, art, and other epic gear, it's like Comic-Con in a box. Now, the theme for this month, for this month's box, is The Lord of the Rings, Adventure Time, and The Legend of Zelda. Now, you have by August 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to receive August's crate. I got a little tongue tied there. But if you don't make it, if you try to order these three specific themed items from Loot Crate after that date or that in that time, it'll be too late. So you have to get it before August 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So if you want to get that, those three things, and also get a cool little percentage off, you can go to trylootcrate.com/PokemonGoFM to get 10% off, and you can use our promo code at BRIDGE10. So that is BRIDGE10. And with those two, you'll get a whole 20% off your purchase, guys. So without further ado, let's get this show on the road. What's up, guys? We are back again for another episode of Pokemon Go FM. I am your host, Bagel Newt.
And I am Nyan Court. And before we get started with the show today, let's get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way. Make sure you guys follow us on all social media for updates on bounties, events, and things that we may not talk about on the show. If you're interested in showing off your diehard Pokemon Go FM status, winning gift cards adding up to anywhere from $10 to $15, plus more exclusive content that you won't be able to get on the podcast, make sure you check out our Patreon page. The Patreon page is patreon.com/PokemonGoFM for all of that. Supporting the Patreon helps keep the show free, and we get to put the funds that we raise back into you guys by purchasing gift cards for our bounty winners. And the link to the Patreon will be in our show notes for you to be able to easily access. And last but not least, we want for all of our listeners to know that you can visit our website to have access to all of our episodes, links to our social media accounts, bios about Bagel and myself, viewing of our trainer wall, and a special button for our Patreon. And guys, we would need for everybody who listens to the show to write us a stellar 5-star review on iTunes because it would really help the show's growth and popularity. So if you guys love us and you love the show, please, please, please leave a review.
So let's go ahead and announce the bounties for this week, guys. So there are three bounties that we have to announce for three specific groups. So listen up. The first bounty is for the people in my Bagel Noob in my Pokemon Go Facebook chapter. Hey Alaska, hello Catherine, because I told Catherine that I would shout her out. We agreed on the bounty, guys. So Alaska and I, we agreed on the bounty. Everybody in the group knows who Alaska is. So if all you normal everyday listeners, you guys don't have to worry about who that is. But anyway, Alaska and I agreed on this bounty. But I made it up. So if you want to get mad at somebody for making it too hard, you can blame me. Anyway, so the bounty goes as follows. The first three people in my Facebook chapter that are able to capture a Zapdos with an excellent curveball will receive a $10 gift card of your choice. So if you want a $10 gift card to Best Buy or GameStop or anywhere that allows you to get a $10 gift card. Now I know some places like have a minimum of like $15 or something like that, but if you're able to the place that you want your prize to go to. If it's $10 compatible for a gift card, then you're allowed to do that. You may use whatever berries or any other methods that you want to use to catch the Zapdos, as long as you can provide a screenshot for proof. And this is important. Critical captures do count. I know that it's absolute luck, but if you're able to get a critical capture with a curveball excellent toss, you will still be eligible to win the bounty. Bounty number two is for all of the listeners of Pokemon Go FM. That includes patrons, that includes people in my Facebook chapter, Pokemon Go chapter, and everybody else who can hear, who's under the sound of my voice right now. The first person to capture and execute with an excellent curveball on the first throw will win an item of their choice from the in-game store and an opportunity to become a guest on the show if they want. All we need is a screenshot of the capture for proof sent to us in an email or on Twitter with the hashtag execute bounty attached to it. The last bounty is for patrons only and will be announced on our Patreon page exclusively for them. But the prize for our patrons will be a $15 gift card for of the winner's choice. So, beginning this week, guys, I'm gonna start a new segment of the show, and I got this idea because I just felt like uniting the community was something that I really, really want to focus on. And I just said, you know, what way can I do that? What way can I help unite the community a lot more? And I got the idea because, you know, pretty much Yan and I are, we're the only one. We play together, but that's it. Yeah. You know, and prior to very, very recently, Yan and I had no one but each other, but that's all that we needed. We didn't need anybody else. Right. But Yan and I, we're not strong enough even at our best selves to defeat legendaries, a legendary. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I came up with this idea that will really help to unite the community, and I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know about it right now. It's going to become a weekly part of the show, so I want to let you guys go ahead and hear it for the first time. Beginning this week, we're going to start helping trainers out there who don't have dedicated groups to play with and are looking for that. There are several people out there who want legendary Pokemon but aren't actually able to take them on by themselves. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to create a sort of call and response system for groups and people who are looking for groups. So somewhat of a LFG for Pokemon Go. So for those looking for groups, I want all of you to send us an email with your name and geographic location along with your trainer levels and your team, whatever team you're on. We need to know all of that information. We will announce it on the show. And if there are any groups in the area where you're from who would be interested in taking in new trainers, I want those guys to send in responses to those trainers so that we can call it out on the show. And if you're just a group that will want to put your information out there, you are encouraged to do so as well. So what we need for you guys to do is just be aware of your group, send us the name of your group, what qualifications must be met in order to join your group, and the size of your group, along with how many people you are looking to add into the group. And the size of the group doesn't really matter, but you know, we just need to know if it matters to you guys. All right, so the name of this segment will be called our call and response segment, and we will also be creating a call and response tab on our website, PokemonGoFM.xyz, so that everybody will be able to access the information easily with the most relative amount of ease. And Yan and I came up with this because we thought that it would help to unite the community and get players who are, you know, more loners and, you know, people who don't actually have, that camaraderie, that companionship with a bunch of people in order to actually get out and do some legendary
raids.
And
this also will help, like we said, in rural areas as well.
Yeah. So this is really important, guys. for the rural players. If you guys are out there in a rural community,
I like that word.
Yeah, rural.
Yeah.
If you're in a rural community, this will help you guys so much. I know that we kind of get away from rural players. The game kind of gets away from rural players. And what we want to do is really, really get you guys together. We want to get you guys to come together and kind of be able to link up and get some stuff done. So for the rural players, we're going to try to make it when you send, if you're, so the way that this segment is going to work is the people looking for a group will be a part of the callers, and the groups that are looking for people, trying to help people join their groups, will be a part of the response teams, the responders. Right. So this is what I want to do for the rural players. I really want to make sure, if you're a rural player and you have you've never caught a legendary and you have a hard time finding groups for, you know, 4-star, 5-star raids, this is going to help you guys out a lot. If you're a rural player, make sure you let us know that you're a rural player. Because I know what it's like playing in a rural area. Even though I don't live in a rural area, I know what it's like playing in a rural area because I have I have another house in a rural area. So I get it. So when you guys are sending in your calls, make sure you let us know that you're a rural player. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep a tally of your location and everything like that. I'm going to keep that as well documented as possible. I might put it up on the Patreon. I might even put it up on our website just so that everybody can see that. And if there are any other people in your area, you never know, they may also listen to this show. So, you know, I want to get you guys, I want rural players to be able to enjoy the game just like the people in the, you know, in the city areas, because it's just not fair for the rural players. So I want to do whatever I can to make it as fair as possible and fun as possible. I want everybody to be able to enjoy the game to its full extent. All right, so let's get on with the news for the week. So, tell you guys the coolest thing I've done this week. I caught, I know we, first of all, this episode is a little late. So,
oh yeah, this episode is extremely late.
Yeah, it's late, but,
whoops.
I caught like 3 or 4 Moltres last week, and I caught my first Zapdos today. My Zapdos was about, I think it's 93 or 98. percent IVs, which is pretty darn good.
And you said it was a shiny, correct?
Yes, shiny. Yeah, so
not that anyone cares,
but perfectly. That's a good segue, actually, because we can go ahead, that can lead us right to the news for the week. So shiny Zapdos has dropped for Pokemon Go. It was a mistake. Niantic did not intend to give us this here shiny boy.
But, oh yeah, it was definitely a total F up on their part.
They definitely did not mean to do that. So, but the, you know, you can tell that they didn't mean to release the shiny sprite, because the Zapdos doesn't shine. Like,
I've seen.
Yeah, he doesn't even shine. He just has the colorway. Yeah, mm-hmm. So the difference, I think the main difference between a regular Zapdos and a shiny Zapdos, the difference between the sprites is that the shiny Zapdos has orange talons and the orange feet. Look like a little chicken, like little chicken legs, mm-hmm. like the same color. And that's how you can tell that it was a mistake, because it doesn't have sparkle. Like anybody, if you guys have ever seen a shiny Pokemon, you know that they have that little sparkle animation to them, but Zapdos doesn't. It just has the colors. Now, that leads me to this question. Are they going to change, like, cuz they've obviously realized,
like, are they going to pull them back?
I don't think they're going to pull them back, but what I want to know is if they're going to actually like add the sparkle to the animation. Like, I don't think they're gonna take everybody's shiny Zapdos.
No, I didn't think that they were gonna take it, but just whatever was left. Wait, have they already done that?
Like, no, it's still out. It's still shiny right now.
Haven't seen it.
And he dropped yesterday. I thought that yesterday I didn't get a chance to go catch him on the first day he came out. So I thought that today, I was like, well, today maybe when I go out, he's probably not gonna be shiny anymore. They're definitely gonna realize their mistake and fix it. But
I mean, I don't see, like, they might as well just keep it out there.
Yeah,
there'd be no point for them to take that away.
But the good thing about seeing that they have, you know, the shiny sprites available means that the shiny sprites for the legendaries are in the code. So it's possible that it's possible that we can see the shiny versions of each one of the legendary Pokemon. So that would be like, that would be super cool. Super cool. If we can get a shiny Articuno or a shiny Moltres, that would be like freaking Lugia. Awesome. Oh man, Lugia and Ho-Oh, like that's going to be so. Speaking of Ho-Oh, I saw a rainbow today, a double rainbow. That was really, really, it made me happy. So speaking of shinies, there were actually in the code they found the shiny sprites
for Pikachu
and Raichu in the code. It's weird to me that they're releasing this like they put so much emphasis on Pikachu.
And they really do, and it's really so annoying.
I hate it so
the
much.
The stupid hats. They just really waste my time with just even sharing that news on the internet.
And it's like nobody. It's weird to me because me personally, I don't like it because they don't like before Zapdos came out, we didn't have any good electric type Pokemon in the game
not at all.
Like
so maybe like Jolteon
is the only one that's really even worth, you know, talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, Magneton has a low CP. Then you got Raichu's always been garbage. Then we got other electric Pokemon. Electrode. Oh my gosh! Don't even get me started on.
Ugh, I hatched one of those the other day.
Yeah, and let's not even get started on that. Then, Electabuzz is not worth anything right now. But you know, once Electivire,
sure. Yeah, definitely. Will
definitely, you know, be worth anything. But right now, no good. So we got you know, a good Pokemon, a good electric Pokemon with Zapdos now. And even though Articuno is my favorite.
Zapdos is still the strongest.
Yeah, my favorite. Zapdos is still the and then it's the best electric Pokemon in the game right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely gonna catch as many Zapdos as I possibly can just based off of that fact alone. I need, you know, we all need
good. Need a good solid army.
Yeah, I need a good solid, you know, some good electric Pokemon to choose from because the, you know, the pickings that we have now are extremely slim.
And you know, word has it, I have not caught a Zapdos yet, but apparently it's not that difficult. You don't have to go in with as many people as you had to go in with the Articuno and Lugia, so
yep,
kind of
that's a
right refreshing. right there with Moltres.
Yeah.
I was kind of fascinated by that because that's Zapdos is supposed to be the strongest bird, so well, I really don't.
It's the best. Like, so like if all three of the birds got into an argument, you know, Zapdos would be, you know, probably, hey, you guys shut up over there because I'll zap you all out of the air. But but Zapdos has, you know, weaknesses, some weaknesses to a lot of the Pokemon that we have access to in the game right now. And I'm glad you said that. That's a perfect segue. You've been setting me up for these segues really good lately. What do I say a lot?
Perfect segue.
Yeah, because you've been setting me up for them a lot lately.
Thank you.
So when you guys are fighting Zapdos and raids, first of all, if you guys had this, I don't know if any of you are still out there being disobedient, but don't take no Blissey and don't take no Snorlax into that raid. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because I told you why once before, but I'm going to tell you why real quick this time. Don't take a Blissey or a Snorlax in there because they take a lot of hits, sure. And Snorlax is actually not even a weak Pokemon in the actual game, but in this one, he doesn't attack very hard. He doesn't hit as hard. And Blissey definitely doesn't hit that hard. So we need to just don't take those guys in there. They can last a long time, but they're not going to do enough damage. And you need damage in the raids, not just because, you know, I'm sure 15 people could go in there and, you know, take out a Zapdos with a whole bunch of Blisseys if you wanted to, but you gotta think about it like this. You want to get the extra damage so you can get as many balls as possible. The objective in a raid is not defeating the Pokemon, it's
having enough materials to actually capture the Pokemon.
Get enough balls at the end to actually capture it. And the best thing, the best Pokemon to take for Zapdos are rock type Pokemon and
golems everywhere.
and I was reading an article to make sure you guys don't take ground types. Ground types are not gonna be great against Zapdos because in the actual games, a ground type move would do zero damage to a Zapdos. So, but in the way Pokemon Go works, it would do not very effective damage. So that's important. That's an important fact to know. Make sure you guys are not taking ground type Pokemon. Now, rock type Pokemon, perfect. Ice type Pokemon, absolutely phenomenal. If you got some good ones, let me see. You got ice, you got rock. Mostly ice and rock. That's it. I'm thinking ice, rock, and that's it. I don't think anything else is gonna yield you any like spectacular results. So for ice type Pokemon, we don't really have a lot, but you can't really
Articuno.
Well, yeah, but you can't really take an Articuno because Zapdos, if one of Zapdos you fight has Thunder,
I'm sure everyone has at least, the way I've seen tweets, 10 or 13 Articuno.
Yeah. So I think the best thing to do is go in with a bunch of rock types. Tyranitars, Golems, Rhydons, those Pokemon they will be good. Because Zapdos, though all rock types and ground types, his attacks, they're not going to do a lot of damage to a rock or ground type Pokemon. Now, if you are bringing ground type Pokemon, make sure they have rock type moves. And if you're bringing a ground type Pokemon, make sure that, you know, you're not bringing one in with like Earthquake or something like that. Because I have a couple of, and this is, you know, we've had this conversation a bunch of times. I got a couple of Golems. One of them got Rock Blast and one of them got Earthquake. And it's hard to tell which one got which moves. Mm-hmm. And now I got to go in and rename the Golem Rock Blast guy and the other one Earthquake guy. So I can know which to choose when I'm going to fight the Zapdos raids and stuff like that. But, I want to wish everybody luck on catching their Zapdoses and stuffs. So we're just gonna move on to the next little bit of news we got here. So I wanted to Yan and I were looking over this article that came out a few days ago, and it was talking about what we can expect from raid-based Pokemon Go events. Now, you know, Zapdos is the last legendary bird to come out. Ho-Oh's coming out, but he's not really one of the legendary birds. That's Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres. But Ho-Oh's coming out. But after Ho-Oh drops, I think that, you know, we hadn't got a word on dogs yet. We don't know when the legendary dogs are going to be released. So I'm not exactly sure what to expect there. But
I don't think any of us really know what to expect dealing with Niantic.
We never know what to expect when it comes to Niantic. They're really always trying to, I don't know, like,
they're just figuring it out.
They've been figuring it out for so long. They don't, in my opinion, they don't want to figure it out. They just don't want to do it. But they're saying that they're supposed to be there's they think that the event that's going on over in Japan, in Yokohama, Japan, excuse me, sorry, I burped. They're thinking that they're going to release the shiny Pikachus over there. That just came to mind really quick. But before we go on with the rest of the news, because I really do have some, we do got some stuff we want to talk about some more. We're going to take a quick break and get some stuff done. We'll be right back.
Okay, guys, once again this week, our sponsor for today is going to be BarkBox.
BarkBox!
BarkBox is committed to making dogs happy, and they work with local independent businesses to achieve this. For humans, BarkBox is a delivery of 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys curated around a surprise theme each month. For dogs, BarkBox is like the joy of a million belly scratches. Make sure you visit getbarkbox.com/PokemonGoFM to get 1 free month with a 6 or 12 month subscription.
6 or 12 months? Oh, ouch. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay, so today's episode is also brought to you by Gamefly. Gamefly.com has over 8,000 new releases and classics available to rent for Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4, PS3, PS Vita, Wii U, Wii, and 3DS, as well as older systems. And as a Gamefly member, you can rent as many console and handheld games as you want and get them delivered right to your mailbox for one low monthly fee. If you like a game so much that you don't want to send it back, you can keep it for a low used price. There are never any due dates or late fees. Gamefly also offers the ability to rent Blu-ray and DVDs as part of the regular service with no extra charge. And guess what? You get to try your first 30 days for absolutely free when you use our custom URL, gameflyoffer.com/PokemonGoFM. All right, guys. So we are back and we are going to talk about what we got going on overseas across the pond. Like I was just telling you guys right before, we got the Pikachu Outbreak Festival. It's going to be starting. I think it's going to start tomorrow. I think the Pikachu Outbreak Festival starts tomorrow. And it's going to Niantic will have a presence there. Pokemon Go will. And they're going to have a Pokemon Go park and a Pokemon Go stadium. Okay? So this is how it's going to work. The park will feature sections for Pokemon from the Kanto and Johto regions, as well as special 2-kilometer eggs and the opportunity to catch Mr. Mime outside of Europe. Now, this is what Ian and I were thinking. We were thinking that since they're saying that, you know, the 2-kilometer eggs that can hatch Mr. Mime outside of Europe, I think that means hatch Mr. Mime out here in America, over here in America where we're from. So that's what I'm thinking. I think that's what that means. What are you thinking? I think that means that we'll be able to catch it. What do you think? I mean, not catch it, but hatch it.
Hatch it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'd be such a low chance rate that I personally may not see it, but I try not to think that way.
Yeah.
I do think it would be a cool way to incorporate it into a different region. Honestly, yeah. I think that's awesome. And also, we read an article by Tassie.
Yep. Young Tassie.
And he was saying how we should start amping up regional Pokemon in our raid systems.
Right.
Also, yeah, things that we don't usually get the items for, like Porygon and a number of other different Pokemon, which I thought was a great read that we should really discuss about a little bit more. Can you pull it up?
Yeah, we're going to pull it up in just a second. So, the second part of the festival over there is going to be about the Pokemon Go Stadium. And this one is really important because a lot of people are saying that this is where Ho-Oh is going to be at first. Like the people that are there will get Ho-Oh first and before everybody else will get Ho-Oh. So I'm not really just super, you know, gonna be like upset or jealous that they'll get it first. I'm just gonna be happy to know that Ho-Oh is actually coming in the first place, because, you know, right now we don't know anything about the legendary dogs really at all. I haven't read anything. Have you?
No, I haven't seen any information.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about the dogs. So it's just it's just a delight to know that we're going to get Ho-Oh in the first place, even though we've pretty much known that. But I just want the dogs. I really like the dogs. But anyway, let's go ahead and check out, talk about a little bit what Yan just brought up, because what she was talking about was really a great read, like she said. And, you know, what the article was kind of talking about was that after we finish with all of the release of the legendaries that they're going to do right now, Niantic is probably going to go back to their old event-based, you know, system of, you know, their old event-based system. Mm-hmm. And so he laid out a couple of things in the article that I thought were all great.
Well, very agreeable.
Yeah, there are a lot of good points in there, and I like a lot of them. So the first one that we got is double rewards. So this one says, you know, that when we do the raids, we should get double everything. Now, my only issue with getting double everything is that, you know, experience is great to get double.
Is great to get double.
Well, we don't get starters from raids. So raid rewards. So doubling XP, cool. Rare candy, cool. But, you know, not doubling everything that you get from raids would be kind of wasteful, in my opinion, because we getting too much, you know. Rare candy is, I can even let rare candy slide. But TMs, golden raspberries, and revives, that is just way.
It's just crowding up your bag.
Yeah, that's too much. You're not, you know, revives and golden raspberries, you don't use those every day. Most of us keep golden raspberries, you know, for those harder raids when we know, you know, legendaries are coming and, you know, we're gonna tackle a bunch of legendary raids in a day. We're definitely gonna burn through some golden raspberries. Now, revives, you know, you're getting those from raids and you're getting those from Pokestops and all of that. So like raids aren't something that, I mean, sorry, not raids, but revives, that's definitely not something that I just want my bag to be full of. I found myself recently dumping a lot of revives out. Just dumping
them. Oh, I do that all the time.
Just dumping
all of the time.
Yeah, because it's just too much. And yeah. Then TMs, come on. We don't need double TMs. TMs are not one. Yeah. They're probably right with, well, for me, me personally, right there with max revives. TMs are the least used of the items. TMs are right there with the evolution items in terms of the least used items that I personally use. So what we got next on the list, Yan?
Okay, so bonus premiere balls is the next one on the list. It's a pretty easy one. It basically just says that if you give us about 5 extra premiere balls per raid, it would make capture chances even greater.
Yeah, for sure.
I would never argue with that.
No.
Why would I ever want to turn down free extra? Yeah. We all know how shitty those premiere balls are anyway.
Yeah, so, they are already.
I mean, yeah, bang. In a perfect world, I would love that. But, you know, oh well. I'll just be happy with the one extra one we're getting from now on.
Yeah, because right now they're giving. So, you know, just in case you guys didn't know, right now there's absolutely no chance to get a capture. Sorry, there's absolutely no chance to capture a Pokemon at the very end of your premier ball. So if you got 10 balls, you can only use 9 of them. That last one not gonna do anything. So no. Niantic, they realized that, so they gave us an extra ball.
I guess just to pacify us.
That's like, stupid, man. Because the last ball is still garbage.
Just as trash.
It makes no sense for them. Like,
it's like pure luck sometimes.
Yeah, it's
of
like
course how you throw.
But. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to let you guys know. I put out a video. Sorry about these messages, but I put out a video on our Patreon. It's public. But we can actually make. We can actually make the ball shake if you use a nanab berry on that last ball. I tried it. Actually, I was telling Ian I only tried it once, but I remember now I tried it twice. Once on an Articuno and once on a Lugia. They actually shook. The balls actually shook twice before they popped out. Now, if you use a golden raspberry, they don't shake at all. It doesn't shake at all. And you just have absolutely no chance for that, to catch that that Pokemon with that very last Premier Ball. So I want to challenge you guys to go out and try to use a Nanab Berry to see if it works for you, because I haven't caught a legendary Pokemon or a raid boss by using a Nanab Berry on that last ball, but you know, you actually trying it out, you know, I want to see what if other people have the same results as I do. Actually, and you know, I don't know why I didn't realize that the last Premier Ball does nothing, because I remember one time Gan and I were doing a Machamp raid, and I remember that it on your last ball, he just popped right out, didn't even shake.
Oh no, yeah, he was not a nice Pokemon.
He was a meanie.
I was a meanie.
Yeah. So what you got next on the list?
The next one on the list is a beauty, a gem.
A beauty, a gem.
It was suggested that we should have 2 daily raid passes.
Yeah, for a raid event, 2 daily raid passes.
That would be a joy. Because for people like me, who have an off day and want to maximize it to the most, because I work generally between the time frame where legendaries are doing its thing, popular, out, active, whatever the case may be. So when I'm working from 10 to 8, I don't really have that opportunity to get out there and do something. And that little slim chance of lunch, they just happen to not be in the shopping center where I work at.
Right, right.
So on days where I'm off and I have all this time to utilize with catching and fighting these awesome legendary raids, I would love to have 2 extra raid passes.
Yep, to make up for the
So if that could be a thing, even just for a week.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I would love it.
Do you think if they were to do that, do you think they would give us... do you think they would give us the raid passes? They would give us 2 raid passes from 1 gym Pokestop, or would they give it to us from 2 separate ones?
They'll make us work. Yeah. I think 2 separate ones. Yeah. That'd be too easy if you came from this one.
They don't love us that much.
No.
Yeah, they don't love us that damn much. So yeah, that's cool. What you got next? Is that all of them?
No. The next one is going to be increased player damage.
Okay. This one was really cool. So pretty much if they were to do this for a raid event, and they would doubling player damage would be super helpful, because that means that, you know, a raid that would take you, a raid that would take you 9 people to do, it would only take you 4, maybe 5 people to do that. So that would be like super great to get that damage, and that would help. Just like, you know, earlier we were talking about how, you know, rural players and, you know, people who don't have groups, you know, to actually go out and, you know, fight these legendaries, that would help them a lot because they could do the raids with fewer people. Would be great. What if they just
it's
made
hard to get people together?
What would it be? You think it would be possible? You think it would be possible to, make the way the game works automatically? Like, to where, you know, they, like, Niantic pinpoints the rural areas. Now, this would definitely take them a long time. But if they could pinpoint the rural areas, which would be, you know, areas that have, you know, an extremely low concentration of gyms and Pokestops, if they could somehow allow players that are in those areas to have a boost, a bonus in damage for the raids, for their legendary raids there, that would help rural players out a lot.
Tremendously.
That would help rural players out a whole lot.
We should fight them.
Yeah, I think, because I'm trying to think of, you know, that's an upside, of course, but
yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the downside could be, like, I mean, I don't see it, you know, messing up the game or, you know, messing up the game's equilibrium or messing up Niantic's bottom line or anything. Like, I feel like that would really help a lot, man. Like, that would be great.
Yeah, that definitely would be
great. That would be great.
It would make it a lot easier. And that's actually something that's very considerable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how they could give us pushback for something like that.
Yeah.
I understand right now with... no, I still think that they should... for rural people, I think that they should allow it right now.
Yeah, man. That would be great. And, you know, because... we got, you know, it's so easy for us to, I sent 2-3 messages in my Facebook group thing today, and 15 people right there in front of the Zap Bills ready to go. Mm-hmm. 15 people. We had 28 people at a raid earlier today. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, not 28, 26. 26 people at a raid earlier today. So, you know, I mean, it's so easy for the people in the city to get that going, mm-hmm. but those rural people, there's nowhere they're gonna get 26 people in one that are playing Pokemon Go in a place where, you know, you got a population of 1,000. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you 20% of those 1,000 are probably old people that, you know, that stand in the house watching Wheel of Fortune and The Price is Right every day. You know what I'm saying? So that's...
well,
what you got next?
Moving forward to the next one, it was actually what I was mentioning earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We all know this beautiful, legendary wave we're on right now is going to come to an end soon, and we want to keep the raids as popular as possible. So it was also suggested that we should have more wanted Pokemon in these raids, other than what we've been seeing, like Gyarados and whatnot. Porygon 2, Sunflora. What was another one? The regional ones that I guess have been unlocked, like Mr. Mime. Were any other ones unlocked other than Mr. Mime?
Talking about at the Pokemon Go Fest?
No. Oh, you're talking about, like, for the... how they're about to start sweeping them into
the eggs.
Yeah.
Well, I think that all I saw was Mr. Mime. And I'm not 100% sure if they're going to actually put them in our move pool. They're just saying outside of Europe. Yeah. So I feel like we're outside of Europe. So I hope they let us be able to, you know, get some Mr. Mimes.
Yeah. Or just in general, just things that we don't typically always have the materials to get.
Heracross.
Heracross would be great. I actually mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
Corsola. Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be beautiful.
Tauros for the people that don't live in North America.
And they could be special raid events, but yeah. I don't know. I just you want to, after having such a big deal like legendaries to hit the map in the game, you know, what could you really follow up with after this is all said and done besides the next generation to drop?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They're gonna have to have something to get us, you know, through that to transition over into
whatever's
gonna happen after.
And you know, I think that decreasing the amount of time for poo-poo raids would be great. Like let's decrease the amount of time that... decrease those 2 hours or however long, an hour and a half, however long that is. Let's decrease that time that a Bayleaf and a Colava are the raid boss. Let's decrease that amount of time that an Electabuzz or whatever is a raid boss. Like, I feel like... okay, so this is how I think it should go. Like, you know, Niantic, I know you got data. I know you got data at your place over there. And it's letting you know what the most popular Pokemon in the game are. What Pokemon people want most in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means you guys know what we want the most. So out of those Pokemon that are raid bosses, why not just decrease that the Pokemon that we don't care so much about that are raid bosses? Don't you guys? I think it would be cool if they decreased the amount of time they were sitting up there, because I mean, let's be honest, how many of you guys are going out raiding against a Quilava?
No.
You know what I mean? We're looking for Tyranitar raids. We're looking for, you know, we're looking for raids with Pokemon that we don't... Machamp raids. We're looking for Pokemon like that, because Machamps are good against Blissey's. You know what I'm saying? We're looking for Tyranitars because they're good against Pokemon like Zapdos and Moltres. You know what I mean? It's Tyranitar is gonna be splendiferous against Ho-Oh when it drops. So, like, you know, we need those types of... we need those Pokemon thus decrease the amount of time that they're there. So, you know, that after that time runs out, you know, let's let that colava be up there for 45 minutes. You know, that would be a good time. You know, I don't think anybody 2 hours for somebody trying to get a colava, if they haven't gotten it by now, it's probably because they're not trying to waste their one ray pass a day on a colava.
On a freaking colava.
You know what, like, I'm saying? Or bay leaf. You know what I'm saying? Or an Electabuzz for that matter. So why not decrease those to about 45 minutes? I think that would be cool. You know what I'm saying? I think that would be real cool. So yeah, I think that'd be cool. So I think they decrease that time and let us, you know, kind of get that those Pokemon that we want the most out there a little bit more. Keep those up for 2 hours, like, you know, because I don't know if I'm pretty sure it's random, some type of algorithm that got written in there, but you know, if the algorithm is, you know, whatever they got it, however they got the cycle going, if it says, okay, this is going to be a bay leaf here, and then after the bay leaf, the next raid boss at that same gym is going to be a Charizard or a Tyranitar, then why not let the one that doesn't, we don't want that much, decrease that time on there so we can get the other one sooner. You know what I'm saying? We can get the other one sooner and keep that one up for 2 hours. And then we can get the Tyranitar even sooner than we would have before. That's just a little idea I had going around, you know, janging around in my noggin. You know what I'm saying? So, that'll be it for this episode, guys. We already did all the housekeeping stuff at the top of the show, so we're not going to burden you guys with having to hear that again. We're going to make sure you guys remember, though, to send in your call and responses, because we definitely want to get you guys involved. Like, all you guys who have yet to who want to do legendary raids but couldn't because you don't have the personnel, you don't have the bodies to do that, we want to help you do that. So make sure you guys send in emails to askpokemongofm@gmail.com to get that started, guys, because we really want to help you. So without further ado, let's bring this show to a close. This has been Pokemon Go FM, and me and Yen love you guys so much. See ya.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.